Campaigning for local elections is underway. The vote is in October this year, and those elections are where we decide who will represent us in our city and district councils. How much do we know about that process? And in particular, how much can candidates spend on promoting themselves? Well, it turns out in some places, candidates can spend more, much more, than MPs in a general election. Hamilton Councillor Paula Southgate knows what this process is like, and she joins us now to talk about it. Hi, Paula.
Hello.
Nice to chat to you again. Thanks for your time today.
Not a problem.
We better start with your story of running for mayor last time around, Paula.
Yes. So I did run for Hamilton mayor last time, and I'm the sad candidate that missed out by the six votes, the
six
very close
votes.
Margin of 0.03%, I think, of the vote.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And the outcome. And that's democracy, isn't it? And it's partly a result of the current first-past-the-post system. Under a single transferable vote, I possibly would have had the secondaries I needed to get across the line, but that's a separate debate.
Yeah. Six, and of course, the question is, did you do a recount?
Yes, I did. So I was originally at something like 14 and I got to 6. And it was an interesting process because to do a recount, you have to lodge in the district court. So that comes with additional costs. So it's a further $2,000 to candidates to undertake a recount. And if you employ a lawyer to broker on your behalf, then of course you pay the lawyer's costs as well, or a barrister's costs.
Did you do that?
No, I used a previous councillor whose integrity I like very much, which was Councillor Daphne Bell, to be my scrutineer in the process. And because as a district court judge providing, I was confident that, you know, the process would be a good one.
Yeah. And what's that process like, by the way, of recounting? Like, is it interesting for people to go through all those votes one by one and see, you know, see how people have filled them out and so forth?
Absolutely. It's fairly rigorous.
Yeah.
But Daphne, what she told me was interesting. For a start, in Hamilton, and I don't know what the weather was like in other centres, but a lot of those postal forms were delivered in howling gales. A lot of them got wet, and that was evident in the recount because some of them got blotched. You know, they must have folded the form while it was wet, and the ink had run. And if it had run in any way that went between two candidates' names, of course, they were not valid. And interestingly for me was that if people don't understand that they've got to tick and do no other way of identifying a candidate, that can be discounted. So I had four forms, for example, discounted where out of the six mayoral candidates, people had crossed out five of the mayoral candidates and left my name uncrossed out.
Yeah.
But of course, in a legal position, it's not a tick, so it doesn't count.
Yeah. And no suggestion you would have won if that hadn't been the case, but it's interesting, isn't
right.
it? And I wonder
yeah.
if there might be an argument that, not what we're talking about today, but an argument for if you can see a voter's clear intention, the vote should count. People would be pretty disappointed
yeah.
to hear that their votes didn't count if they were a little bit smudged, perhaps.
Yeah, well, that's right. And, of course, we're still trying to pursue the argument for electronic voting, which should be done at a national level. You could devise a system where it would be impossible to make an incorrect note on your form, because if you ticked more than two, you'd be discounted. If you did anything other than just put a mark in one space, it wouldn't be acceptable, would it?
Okay. So you're going to have another go at it this year, eh?
Oh, I am.
Good for you. And is it an expensive exercise?
It is an expensive exercise. So just to let people know, I spent $27,000 of my personal money last time that I'd saved up. And I was very grateful to get a number of anonymous donations. I always am at arm's length from my donations. I get other people to broker that for me, because I don't want to be politically beholden or what have you. But I did get, so I went up to 50,000 with donations, but 27,000 of that was mine.
Okay. Oh. And how much are you allowed to spend?
Well, I think it's an obscene amount, quite frankly. This year, because of the population of Hamilton, a mayoral candidate can spend $60,000. Interestingly enough, if you're running for both mayor and council, which is what I did last time, but I'm not this time, you could spend an additional $50,000 for your councillor campaign and $60,000 for your mayoral campaign. That's a really generous amount of $110,000 if you could access it. How many people can?
And what's the problem with a high sort of cap on spending?
Well, I was really surprised to find out that MPs don't get anywhere near $60,000. I only discovered that a couple of days ago. But I've thought for some time that $60,000 or even $50,000 is obscene, and it actually creates difficulties for new councillors to get elected. It's a little bit in favour of the wealthy, isn't it? It's either you have personal wealth, and therefore the amount of money is not an issue, or you have access to those who have personal wealth that they're prepared to support you with. If you don't have either of those things going on, and you don't have good name recognition, and I do have good name recognition, so that helps, you know, how do you compete?
Did the candidate who beat you for mayor outspend you?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yeah.
Okay. And how does the amount that a mayoral candidate can spend compare to the amount that a prospective MP can spend if they're putting the name forward in a general election?
So an MP in Hamilton told me the other day that he's allowed to spend $27,000 in his constituency.
So that sounds like about half.
Half, isn't it? You know, look, I'm not going to be able to raise anywhere near $50,000 this year. Just to put it in context, I'm a chair of a portfolio and I earn $80,000, which, of course, is a self-employment salary. I've still got to pay all the tax, all the ACC and all my home office and all that kind of thing. So that's $80,000 before all those things come out. So imagine trying to spend $60,000 of that on my campaign. But my sympathy is for young women with families. I stood for council when I was in my mid-30s and I had young children, and I did it on a shoestring, I must admit, and I was very lucky to get on regional council. But everything's getting more expensive. How does a woman in their 30s with school-aged children put at risk over $20,000 of their family money? How do they do that?
What would the solution be?
Well, I think the cap should be, there should be a much lower cap, a much more affordable cap, and there should be some tools that level the playing field through which you can share your platforms. Local Government New Zealand once did try an all-of-candidate portal where you could go on and load a video and your statements and your policies all in a consistent format. It just didn't get very well used, unfortunately. But I think those sort of things could be revisited so that... you know, it is a bit more of a level playing field.
Is it a barrier to younger people perhaps getting involved in politics?
Oh, I think absolutely it is. I see some of the younger candidates who are running in Hamilton, some lovely, passionate young people who are doing things like second-hand clothing swaps to raise money, art auctions, miniature art auctions, quiz nights and all those kind of things, and they're running around trying to get what they can get and relying on a strong social media campaign for the rest. But they're not going to be able to afford any of the large billboards, I can tell you that for sure, for certain, because they're nearly $2,500 each for those large roadside billboards. I'm not having any myself this year, so I'm not sure how somebody much younger who's maybe been working a few years out from being a student will ever find $3,000 for a large billboard.
If you had unlimited funds, what would you spend it on? Would it be billboards? Radio advertising, I suppose?
Yes, it's a bit of everything. Look, print media, all of the papers come out and offer election specials in, you know, the centre spread of their paper, but each of those will be between $300 and $500, depending on the size. I've had my car wrapped as most other, I've done that every election for the last six, and most candidates are now doing, you know, stickers on their car. Well, that alone costs $1,600, and that is the market rate. So, you know, if you add all those things together, you've got to decide, do I put my money into print media? Do I talk on the radio and do some ads? Do I get some big billboards that people can't miss? Where do I put my limited amount of funding? Of course, social media does make it a little bit more accessible because you can get some wins with some reasonably low costs across social media, but that isn't the total solution. Remembering, of course, that name recognition is king in this.
Paul, I don't know much about your politics, but I wish you a cautious good luck for this year. And thanks very much for coming on and telling us about some of the possible flaws in the system.
Thank you very much for the time.
Nice to talk. Paula Southgate, who is running for mayor in Hamilton later in the year, but has noticed some problems with the way that campaigns are funded, some potential problems. Would love to hear from other people around the country who have thoughts or experience on this. Send me a text to 2101.